Coming up on Patriots This Week, a duel with the Dolphins.
Side Gerard Mayo on the blitz.
But we have more points than they did.
Oh, that wasn't ugly. That was a great win.
A win that clinched a playoff spot, but it's just the first item on their to-do list.
In the grand scheme of things, you know, we still have a long season to play.
You know, Coach said, season starts now.
What's up next? JJ and the Texans.
He's an incredible player. He's impressive as a player, as you can see on film.
It's a one-game season for us right now.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Bill Belichick really believes that the season begins on and after Thanksgiving. And since then, the Patriots are 2-0, and they seal up the AFC East for the 10th time in 12 years. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me each and every week during the football season, which is almost over, former Patriot Matt Chatham, former linebacker, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. Wiggy, good to see you. You're always prompt. You're always on time.
I try to be.
Not a great – I guess, you know, the team is calling it a great win in Miami. But from our eyes and how they set the bar, 37 points per game, they really had to grind this 23-16 victory out. Why is it so tough to play down there?
Division rival, first and foremost.
All right, let's get that out of the way. Next.
Weather.
Weather.
Tough defense. And I think they always have sort of a grinded group, and this group played well on first down. And I think that's always what makes it a little tougher on you as an offense. And the Patriots had a few hiccups. I mean, I think you always make it harder on yourself when you travel on the road and you get penalties early. There were a handful of first and 20s, and that's never good. You know, some of the calls I think were a little controversial, but if you get into first and 20, it's hard to get back on track with that Ridley run game kind of thing. You know, a direct run on first and 20 isn't always the best thing. And they had a few of those in the first half, so it seemed like the game plan was a little sort of a flutter. But you got back into the second half, and they started to pick things up. And, of course, we saw that amazing drive in the fourth quarter. So it took them a while to get back on track. You saw the efficiency. I think that was the beauty that the team saw in the game.
Jermaine, you've been on the, I don't want to say the bandwagon of you've got to play for 60 minutes, but we've been doing a show for many weeks now, 60-minute game. They finally get the marquee drive at the end of the game, over 7 minutes, 77 yards, 16 plays. How big was that for a young team this time of year?
Well, I think it's extremely big because what it does, it shows them as a team that, hey, we can do this. If we put our minds to it and we execute and we do everything that we need to do, we can put drives like that together. We can close out games because that's been the issue. Can they close it out? And I think it just shows them that if they get in that situation where they need to get in that four-minute offense mode, they can close out games.
Why did they come out to throw the balls as much as they did, Matt? Was it to tire them out and then kind of wear on them?
Well, remember, the very first play of the game was a really nice Ridley run. And it was a holding penalty on Donald Thomas, and it made it first and 20. So I think there was a reason they got away from that. There were a few situations in the game where, you know, it's strength against strength. A lot of times you come out and see how they're going to match you. They tried to stay regular in some of their 11 sets. So the Patriots made the decision, okay, we're in backed-up situation. We're going to go ahead and play what they're showing us and go ahead and throw the ball around. There was a little bit of screen game. There was some of the quick stuff, but I think it was more of a reactionary thing as anything. What was cool, though, when they decided to get back to the running game, you actually saw almost basically one scheme run. It's this, for fans out there, it's the two tight end set with just one back in the backfield, and it's just a stretch play, and they bring the backside guard, the O guard, the offside guard, just as an add-in. And they ran that play six times on that final drive, I believe it was six, but just kept running it over and over again. They'd run it to one direction with McDonald as a pull, the other direction with Donald Thomas. The idea of that, though, is that they didn't need to get really crazy. I mean, it wasn't a very terribly creative. It was just that they could grind and they could continue to get different looks from Miami yet still be successful with it. So that was a positive sign. It's a little out of the game plan realm, but it's that they can still win in that environment.
Wes Welker, 12 catches, had 10 in the first half, Matt. The way this thing's trending with Julian Edelman now being on injured reserve, Hernandez is back, but Gronk isn't back yet. Right. Welker's still Brady's binky, isn't he?
He is binky.
Sorry to term it that way, but it's called what it is.
No, I think the level of conversions is important as well, not just the number of catches, but the times he goes to him. And that, you know, one of the question marks when Gronk goes down, obviously he's probably your best red zone target. They're still willing to go back to Wes in the red zone, which is different. I mean, he doesn't look like a red zone target. He doesn't look like he's more of a catch and yards guy as opposed to getting those tough touchdowns, but he does. And they're willing to go to him all over the field. I think it's a nice addition. But you're right, the loss of Edelman is big because that was an added element that did some different things, some good run after the catch, and he was really sort of stepping up. So they got to find the offense somewhere else.
Is Welker your punt returner moving forward?
You know, I don't know what they do back there. I mean, I wouldn't want Wes Welker back there all the time when he is Mike Binky, my go-to guy, because that's just another element of the game where he could get nicked up. We could lose him. So
if they use Wes as your plus 50 punt returner, which later in Troy's career, they did that a lot, where Troy was the guaranteed ball catcher.
Yep.
You're going to make
sure
you
catch a guy.
Exactly. And Danny Woodhead's still on the team, and we haven't seen him punt return for a while, but he can definitely do it. And if he's still in a limited role where he's playing some special teams but playing 20 to 35 type snaps, he's an option. Stallworth, don't know if
that's what about Stallworth?
Don't know if that's his thing.
Well, you know who could be a possible option, and I'm not sure, is Tlaib. Didn't Tlaib return punts down in Tampa when he was Tampa Bay? So he could be somebody that could be a potential option back
there. McCourty does return kickoffs, so it's not that crazy to think that a defensive back can.
Entire different thing, though.
Gostowski, any worries there? He's missed his first field goal in the last three games this team has played.
Well,
now he's hit others.
It was a 50-yarder, 49. So I don't think that falls in the realm of expected kicks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But because the week before was a 42, and, you know, there's been a couple makeables.
42's not that automatic anymore either.
It should be. Yeah, he believes he should make
it. But I know, but is there some concern? And I feel like there's a little concern, you know, that in a critical game, in a critical situation, because he's missed some kicks, and I think that's starting to rent space in his head, you have to just be a little bit concerned with him. I mean, it's just human nature. You got to be. You got to think like, you know, not that he's lost it, but if the situation gets tough, is he going to go wide left a little bit? Is he going to be thinking about that?
See, I don't think he's that way. And I think he's actually, when he's had chances since the critical kick that he missed this year was in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And since that time, he's actually had three or four critical, got to make it in the fourth quarter, need those mm-hmm. 3 points, and he's made all those. So missing a 50-yarder in the first quarter to me isn't part of that subset that would tell you, okay, it's leading towards space in his head. I don't think he's shown that kick.
All right, let's talk about Brandon Lloyd. I've been telling people all along since they signed a guy, he's not a deep threat.
No.
He's a double move runner. He's a precise route runner. Why are people killing him right now?
We saw what he did in Denver, and then he just kind of panned out into a role of just more of just a possession receiver outside the number who makes the great catch, drops some ball, the easy balls, and then when he gets those slants or those plays where he could have some run after catch, he kind of just catches
down
it
to the ground. He cradles it on the way down.
Yeah, he kind of catches it and goes down. And so I think that's why, you know, he gets a lot of flack, is because we expected so much more from him. And now we're seeing he's just more of a possession guy.
See, I think people expected more because they didn't understand what he was. I think we're in a fantasy football world where they look and they see the guy had 1,000 yards once. You know, I'm expecting vertical. He's tall, he's skinny, he kind of looks a little bit like in pads like Ocho Cinco. That's what they're expecting, but you have to do the research. He wasn't that kind of guy before. He wasn't that guy when he came in. Well, let's be honest. This is only meant to be the fourth or fifth option on this team anyway. He has 50 catches. I mean, did you want your fourth or fifth option to have, what, 90 catches? I think it's legit. And I think you look at last week's game, there were actually two. He did have one target. There were two very definitive plays where Tom was looking to him mm-hmm. and he got pressure and he wasn't able to go to it.
I think it's really game plan specific mm-hmm. week to week, and I think a lot of people have a tough time understanding that it's okay for Tom to just concentrate on these two or that two. Remember the whole Edelman-Welker thing at the beginning of the year? This is game plan specific. I think there was more to it, but you know, they're not going with it. Coming up on Monday night, you're going to honor a former Patriot, plus the New York Jets, the saga, the drama, it just continues. That's in Rants and Raves next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
Jerod Mayo is this week's Putnam Player Spotlight. The 6'1", 250-pound linebacker out of Tennessee has been a wrecking machine for the Patriots this season. His 118 tackles leads the team, and Mayo has also forced four fumbles. Last week, his key sack of Ryan Tannehill in the fourth quarter forced the Dolphins to settle for a field goal. This Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Time now for Rants and Raves. On Monday night, at least halftime of Monday night's game, we're going to honor Matt Light. Not us, but the Patriots are going to honor Matt Light. We're going to honor him here. 10 years, 3 Super Bowls. He's protected Tom Brady's backside. Real quick, Matt, your best sum it up as quick as you can what Matt Light means.
Interesting dynamic in that room. Scar is the military guy, the tough guy, and having that kind of personality, but that's also very dependable on the field, is huge. It was a just sort of collection of characters with your Russ Hochstein and Tom Ashworth and Joe Andrews and Steve Neal. It was a great group back then.
Linemen are weird, man.
And he protected that backside and kept it light and was always reliable. That's a
literally kept it light. Like that.
Kept it light.
You know? Wiggy, what do you got on Matt?
Well, you know what? I saw Matt as a rookie, so, and the one thing that I noticed right away was he had this attitude. It was always fun for him, you know, one of those jokesters. Even as rookie year, he's somebody who kind of always joked, kept the room light, you know, always had kind of had a smile on his face. Literally kept the room light. But he was one of those guys that was constantly, you know, was always joking and having a good time. And it was those good jokes, you know. So I think that's one thing about Matt Light that I remember.
What I appreciate about Matt Light and watching the guy play, sometimes you don't appreciate what you have until it's gone. There's so many times, so many games he was criticized, like couldn't block Jason Taylor, had trouble with Dwight Freeney on the road in the dome. Who wouldn't? But right? From the model of consistency, I tell you what, if you play the backside tackle to this type of quarterback nowadays in the National Football League, he was one of the best, and congratulations to him on his retirement. All right, the New York Jets, can you believe it or not? Sanchez out of the game. Guess who's not active? Perfect timing, I think, for Rex, because this makes it easy for him. Tebow wasn't there, couldn't insert him. In goes Greg McElroy. That sounds like a golf name. But it actually is a golf
tennis.
Name, right? Yeah, tennis, whatever it is. McElroy throws for like 29 yards, gets player of the game, but most importantly, throws a touchdown. Jets win. If you're Rex, do you start Sanchez this week?
No, I ride the hot hand, and that's McElroy. He's
you're
the one.
You serious?
I stopped McElroy. You stopped Sanchez?
$20 million.
Yeah, but I think we all know what Sanchez is. And I think the bottom line is you have to start Sanchez because of the fact they're paying him that money. But if you're asking me who I'm going to start, if I'm the coach, I'm going with McElroy because I know what Sanchez is. He's been in the league long enough for me to say what type of quarterback he is. The direction I want to go with this team, maybe McElroy will give me a spark. Maybe he'll be that guy. I believe he's made the wrong decision. He should go with McElroy.
I mean, watch McElroy's series. Yeah, he made an amazing throw on an uncovered guy, and he just – I mean, he almost didn't throw that damn ball. The guy standing in the end zone by himself. That, to me, is not evidence that it's better route. What I think it was good that they did is they said to Sanchez, hey, when you stink, you're coming out. And they've sort of set that precedent, but that doesn't mean he's still not the best guy in that room. McElroy looked really uneasy. They have a super limited offense if he's going to be the guy in there. He had a nice drive. It was a pretty pedestrian drive against a pretty bad team. But I think Sanchez just needs to now know if he gets a pick. He doesn't get, you know, points several series in a row. He's coming out. And that's a good thing because it sort of draws that line in the sand, especially if he's back the next year.
I think we spent way too much time on the New York Jets. We're not talking about him anymore because we got the biggest matchup to date this year in the National Football League. We're going to break down Patriots-Texans when Patriots This Week continues. All right, no big shocker here. Houston Texans coming to town. What are we going to do, Matt Schaub, Andre Johnson, Foster? No, we're going to J.J. Watt. Where you got him? Right here on the three technique. Three technique, one, two, three. That's what that means. Outside shoulder. Guess what? He can move. He's big. He's strong. Good leverage, good hands, good legs. You better not block this guy one-on-one. Especially, go ahead, roll the tape here. Watch the swim move over the top. Guy's in beast mode right here. He destroys quarterbacks, he eats them for lunch, and then he spits them out, re-eats them for dinner. All right, look at it right here. Again, one guy blocking J.J. Watt. If you're going to be Ryan Wendell in this game, and thank God I'm not Ryan Wendell, you better make sure you slide all protections to number 99 and Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, Danny Woodhead. Get your big boy belts, buckle those things up, and you better block number 99 and keep number 12 upright. The record says 11-1. The Houston Texans come to town Monday night for a big, big showdown on Monday Night Football. Now, guys, when we look at the Houston Texans, they've won six of their road games. Actually, all six of them. They're 6-0 on the road. I still can't get out of my mind the Green Bay Packers spreading them out and exposing them on what was supposed to be their coming out party.
Yep.
I love to call the Texans the Falcons of the AFC. I look at Houston, and I look at Atlanta, and I look at them as two of the same. They're there. They're pretty. They're always there at the end of the year. Somehow they don't believe that they can get over the edge. Can they run with the big dogs on Monday night, Wiggy?
I don't think they're a team that scares you, and that all starts with the quarterback. I think Matt Schaub is a very good quarterback, but he's not that quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees that kind of strikes fear into your defense. And I think that's kind of why they don't get the credit maybe they should. But they're just not a team, you know, and I think Green Bay did a tremendous job of really exposing them, especially in that secondary. And I think that's why, you know, the Patriots are favored, because they got a quarterback that's going to spread them out and do what Green Bay did to them.
Matt, what do you think of Houston?
I don't. If we were having this conversation a month ago, I'm right in your camp. They've proven themselves. This has been three or four really tough weeks, having to play on short weeks.
You say win and ugly, too, the overtime.
Win and ugly. Two back-to-back overtime games that happened in a span of, like, what is it, 5 days? That's tough. So, I mean, they've shown some guts. Those are the kind of times where I think we would have expected them to sort of fold and sort of fade away in December. They haven't, so I'll give them credit. I kind of like the way they're built, too, because it's actually very Patriots-similar. They're a team that when you watch them, yes, Andre Johnson's their best receiver. Owen Daniels is another option. But they've got he generally spreads the ball. He sends it a lot of different places. That sort of is armor going into the later in the season. You can't just take away one thing. Of course, you're going to try to double Johnson most likely, but he has enough other places where I think that makes him dangerous.
They have a 6'5", 295-pound corn-fed freak by the name of J.J. Watt, who in his second year is 15.5 sacks. He's getting some run for MVP. And I talked to Coach this week. Does he remind you of anybody, you know, in his second year that's this dominant? And he said Lawrence Taylor. Matt, you watch this guy play. What makes him tick?
The 15.5 sack number is obviously very sexy, but you also look at the 15 batted balls. And I think if you're going to be a stat guy, batting a ball down is as big as a PBU. That PBU number will put him up with a lot of the DBs in the league. You've taken a possession away from the other team.
What the heck is a PBU?
Pass break up.
There you go. Just tell those guys.
No worries. So, but the idea that it's really 30 big plays that the guys had, not just 15.5, and he's so disruptive. So if I'm looking at the Patriots and I'm looking at how you're going to defend these guys, that he's at a 5 technique, which is outside shade of the tackle on regular defense, but it's a Patriots, and we know we're going to be in spread a lot, so he's back to inside. He's moving around all on the interior part of the line. The guy who will be the MVP this week, I think, of the Patriots, if they pulled it off, is the guy that cleans the pocket. There's going to be somebody uncovered. When you bring four, there's five offensive linemen. Somebody's uncovered generally, and that's the guy that cleans the pocket. The guy that cleans him off, or Antonio Smith, and keeps those hands down, gives Tom clean lanes, that will be, in my opinion, the MVP of this game.
Bryce McCain, their slot corner, the number one slot corner. He's on injured reserve. Jonathan Joseph, very good cover corner. I won't say cover corner, but he's dealing a little bit of hamstring injury. Be interesting to see how they deal with Welker.
Yeah.
And then off of that, how do they deal with Hernandez?
Well, and it'll also be interesting to see how the Patriots offensively, you know, you lose a guy like Edelman. And he wasn't a big piece of that offense, but now your offense is kind of condensed because you don't have Gronkowski. You know, you lost Edelman, who was a guy that maybe could have added to some things. So now you really, when you look at this offense, it becomes Welker and Hernandez. So, you know, and now do we get the running game going early? I mean, I think that's the one thing is, I want to see how the Patriots can kind of come out, and because of the fact that I feel like, you know, this secondary is a little weaker, the Texans, how they can exploit that. Do they open it up and say, hey, we're going to throw? Or do they say, hey, because we've lost some guys, we're going to try to run the football? So it should be interesting to see.
All right, guys, Patriots are 10-1 in the last 11 times on Monday Night Football. We'll find out if they'll make that 11-1 or 10-2. Predictions next when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Time now for the Fantasy Lowdown, perhaps the final week of your league's regular season, and it's time to make sure DeMarco Murray has returned to your starting lineup. He returned from injury last week and was rock solid, and this Sunday at Cincy, Murray should be even better. Sticking with running back, make sure to sit Reggie Bush at the Niners, who have allowed just 3 rushing touchdowns on the season. Week 14 sleeper Josh Gordon of the Browns, whose 3 largest reception totals have come in his last 3 games. I'm Brian Lowe, and that's your Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider for the Patriots.
In the history of Monday Night Football, after 24 games, no two teams have a better combined record than the Patriots and the Texans. Guys, you both said it. Second half of the year, Patriots are going to lose one game. Is this the one, Matt?
No, I'm not going there. I think the Patriots are going to win this game 37-30. I like Zoe's analogy with the Packers, the spread them out. They're going to get the points. Houston will score as well. It'll be a tight game, 37-30 Pats.
Wiggy, you're up, babe.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Patriots on this one, 27-24. I think it's a close game, field goal game. I think the Patriots spread them out. They don't have Gronk, but I still think they're able to come away with some points. I like the Patriots.
I think the Patriots get up big on them, and I think Houston makes one heck of a game out of it at the end. I like the Patriots 31-28 in a barn burner. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you tune in each and every week during the football season. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. See you next time on Patriots This Week.